أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him and we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is truly guided, and anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the only one without any partner. And I bear witness that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be aware of Allah with correct awareness and awe-inspired awareness, and die not except as Muslims. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yu'tillaha war rasula faqad faza fawzan 'azima. O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repay your deeds. And whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. In the opening verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, O mankind, show reverence towards your guardian Lord, who created you from a single person, created of like nature his mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Be conscious of Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights. And show reverence towards the wombs that bore you. Show reverence towards the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah ever watches over you. My dear sisters and brothers, 2 days ago was International Women's Day. You've probably all seen it on the television and the newspapers and so on. It's been very widely publicized. And I thought it would be a good idea to dedicate this khutbah to our sisters, our dear sisters, the women of Islam. Now in the verse that I just read, the first verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah commands us to show reverence towards the wombs that bore us. Right? Show reverence towards the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah ever watches over you. What does it mean to show reverence? The dictionaries tell us that reverence is deep respect. Deep respect. Allah commands us to show deep respect to our mothers, to our sisters, and our daughters. I ask you, my dear brothers, are we doing so? Are we really treating our mothers, our sisters, and our daughters with the same love and respect that we have for our fathers, our brothers, and our sons? Really? I'm sure all of you will remember the hadith, a very famous hadith, where a man came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, to whom do I owe the most love and the most respect and obedience? And he said, Your mother. And he asked him 3 times. And then? And the answer came back, Your mother. And he said again, And then? After my mother? And he said, Your mother. 3 times he said, Your mother. And then he said, for the 4th time, And then? And he said, Then your father. So there's some reason for giving the answer 3 times. For your mother, and then for your father. We need to reflect on that. Now look around you, my dear brothers and sisters. And believe me, this khutbah is primarily for us, for the brothers, for the men folk. The sisters can sit and listen, but this is about us. It's about us. It's addressed to us, but it's about you. And if you look around you, you see, look around the world, you see there are some quite appalling situations in many parts of the Muslim world, where our women folk are not treated very well. They're treated rather shabbily. Not only by other people, but by their own fathers, their own brothers, and their own sons. Quite often, we neglect their education. We send the sons to university, give them the best education, but no, the daughter can get married and she'll marry a rich husband and she doesn't need to have an education. And that is very, very bad, wrong thinking. Sometimes it goes further. We hear about forced marriages and so-called honor killings. My dear brothers and sisters, these are cultural things. They have nothing at all to do with Islam. These are not honorable honor killings. They are dishonor killings, dishonorable killings. And these are tribal practices. Quite often many of them have been predating Islam, they've been long before Islam, including practices like female genital mutilation and so forth. They have nothing to do with our religion. And sadly, many of these abuses are still rampant today, even amongst educated Muslims living in the West. My dear brothers, and I'm addressing the brothers here now, you and I remind myself too, I'm standing here, but I'm reminding myself as well, we have to liberate ourselves from these backward, ancient, tribal attitudes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he abolished it 14 centuries ago, and still we are practicing some of them. It was common in those days for newborn girls to be buried alive. I'm sure you've all heard the stories about the time of Jahiliyyah. Sayyidina Umar, the second Khalif of Islam, once laughed aloud and then his face darkened. He became very sad and tears rolled down his cheeks. A companion asked him, "Ya Umar, why do you laugh and why do you cry?" He replied, "I laugh because I remember the days before Islam, in the time of Jahiliyyah. We were traveling and we got so hungry, we were extremely hungry, we had no food left with us. All we had was our idol. And we had shaped this idol, we had fashioned this idol from dates. And we became so desperately hungry that we had to eat this god. We had made this god that we worshipped and asked for good luck and for a safe journey. But we became so hungry we had to eat our own god. And our own God could not even defend himself against our hunger." And he thought it was very funny. That was the time of Jahiliyyah. And they said to him, "Well, why do you cry?" He says, "I also remember in the time of Jahiliyyah when I went to bury my own daughter. And as I put her down into the hole, I dug a hole for her, dug the grave for her, and my face was caked with dust. And as I put my own daughter into that hole, she put her tender little hand on my cheek and she wiped the dust from my cheek. And I remember those days." Now whose heart cannot be moved by that? What a transformation from the time of Jahiliyyah to one of the greatest Khalifs of Islam, the man whom Allah gave the honor of conquering Jerusalem for Islam. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, these are not just fables or tales of the ancients. These are true stories that have been preserved for us for a reason. We need to reflect on those stories. Why are we still practicing these Jahiliyyah practices, many of them, still in today's age? There's no excuse for us. Dear brothers and sisters, this was Sayyidina Umar, a beloved companion and successor of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, if you read the newspapers, there are still parts of the world today where girl babies are killed and born and buried because the parents wanted a son. It's quite rampant in some parts of the world. And Islam banished this practice 1400 years ago. Remember what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you are those who are best to their wives. The best of you are the best of those who are best to their wives. If you read about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you may be surprised to learn, my dear brothers and sisters, now remember, please take note, he used to mend his own clothes. He used to patch up his own sandals and garments. He used to cook and clean and put the trash outside. Okay? It's not women's work, my dear brothers. These are stupid cultural practices that we still have from other societies. There's no shame in putting out the bins. There's no shame in cooking food and cleaning up and working alongside our dear sisters, our wives. We men must stop being such chauvinists. There are many good aspects of the modern struggle for women's rights, like equal pay, equal opportunities, and so forth. But you know, there are also some problems in this modern liberal society. As you all know, Islam forbids same-sex relationships, same-sex marriage, and so forth, transgender identities, and so on. Islam doesn't approve of men dressing up and imitating women. And Islam does not approve of women dressing up and imitating men. Allah created us as two complementary opposites, male and female, night and day, positive and negative. We complement one another. It is not a competition, it's a complementary relationship. They're not a contradictory relationship. And this was to fulfill a divine purposes. Just as we know, positive and negative opposites attract. So our roles as men and women, consummated in the blessing of marriage, is there to not just for sexual pleasure, that's part of it, but the more important part is the procreation and the continuation of the human species. So sex has a very important part in Islam, and it is meant to be part of a loving relationship between a married man and a married woman, and to continue the species. Our roles as brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, should be there to complement and enhance family life and society as a whole. We are caretakers, Khalifatullah. We are caretakers of Allah's creation. And Allah created us to serve Him, and He created the whole Earth to serve us. Everything that we have on planet Earth is to our service, and we are answerable for our custodianship, for our trusteeship. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have only created human beings and the jinn race, the subtle beings, to worship me. At the end of the day, my dear brothers and sisters, this is what our whole life is about. We have to serve Allah as believing men and believing women in the right way, as Allah alone deserves. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khairi mursaleen, Muhammadan Nabiyil Ummi wa ala Ali wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد Allah sends His greetings on Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family. O you who believe, send your greetings upon him and salute him with a worthy salutation. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Glory to Allah, praise to Allah, there is no power, no strength except from Allah. My dear sisters and brothers, International Women's Day seeks to draw attention to the long struggle for equal pay, equal rights before the law, and equal respect for women everywhere. This is also a good time for Muslim men to reflect on how far we still have to go in challenging our own attitudes. Some of us, as I said earlier, have deeply entrenched tribal and cultural habits that are downright un-Islamic. We often boast about how Islam came to liberate women. We talk to our Western colleagues about how Islam gave women's rights in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 1400 years ago, they could own property, whereas they only got the right to own property around about the 17th or 18th century here in the West. We talk about women having the right to inheritance and all these other things long before Christian Europe. But you know, brothers, we have no right to point fingers and feel good about ourselves when there's so much work we still have to do. And our women folk are still carrying a heavy burden of many of our tribal and cultural baggage. Our daughters have a right to education, the same quality of education as we are prepared to sacrifice and provide for our sons. They also have a right to work, to own businesses, and to develop their God-given talents so that all humankind could benefit. What better example? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's first wife, Khadija, was a wealthy businesswoman. She was his employer. He worked for her. Our women folk have a right to be loved and respected no less than our sons. We seem to forget the mother of the believers, Khadija, was also the first Muslim. She comforted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his moments of distress. She reassured him in his moments of self-doubt. "Cover me, cover me," he pleaded. You all know the story. He had just come down from the cave there on Mount Hira. He had just received the first revelations. He has just met Jibreel, who had squeezed him three times very tightly, commanding him to read. The first verses of Surah Alaq was revealed. "Read in the name of your Lord." And he was terrified. It was a terrifying experience. He didn't know what was happening to him. But there was Khadija to comfort him, to throw a blanket over him. Khadija, what's happening to me? I'm worried about myself. He was in a moment of self-doubt. He thought he was losing his mind. "Don't say that. I swear that Allah will never embarrass you or hurt you, because you care about your relatives. You speak truthfully. You help those who cannot help themselves. You protect the poor. You welcome guests. And you support those who have suffered injustice." Khadija was not only his first wife, as I said earlier, she was also his employer. She owned property, she ran a wealthy business. And many years after he died, he married again. Another mother of the believers, Aisha bint Abu Bakr, who became one of the most important sources of Sharia, of Islamic law. Scholars over the centuries quote the hadith narrated by Aisha, who was the Prophet's wife. A huge body of hadith are directly attributable to her. Dear brothers, there are so many great Muslim women who set us a shining example. There was, first of all, Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, who refused to worship her husband as a god. And for her defiance, he had her tortured and put to death. And in her dying moments, Allah showed her a palace waiting for her in paradise in Al-Jannah. And she smiled as the boulders were smashing her body. Remember the purity and devotion of Maryam, Mary, Nabi Isa's mother. Allah devoted an entire surah for her in her name in the Quran. What about Rabia al-Adawiya, from whose love for Allah we've learned so many beautiful du'as and one of the most memorable and beautiful prayers. She was reciting this beautiful prayer in her room, thinking she was all alone and nobody could overhear what she was saying. But her employer was walking past outside the open window, and he heard her reciting this beautiful prayer. And here we are almost, what, more than 1,000 years later, we are also remembering this prayer. And this prayer says, Ya Allah, this is what he heard her say. He was not a Muslim, by the way. He was a pagan. He was not a Muslim. And he heard him saying this beautiful prayer. Ya Allah, if I should worship you because I am greedy for heaven, then close the doors of Al-Jannah for me. Oh Allah, if I should worship you because I'm fearful of hell, then throw me into the fires of hell. But oh Allah, if I worship you because you alone deserve to be worshipped, then please do not turn your face away from me. What a beautiful prayer. Not worshipping Allah because of fear of hell or greed of heaven, but worshipping Allah because Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. That's the only reason why she worships him. What a beautiful prayer. And that is a very high state of spirituality that most of us still have to attain. Her employer wasn't a Muslim, but when he heard this, his heart melted. And he took shahada there and then. He took shahada. And remember that Allah is described in the Quran as muqallibul qulub. Allah is the turner of hearts. Allah turned the heart of Sayyidina Umar, who was on his way to kill the Prophet. He turned the hearts of Khalid bin Walid, Amr ibn al-As, and so many great Muslims who fought the Muslims at Badr, but they went and conquered for Islam in Egypt, in Syria, and all over the place. So don't let us, I've said this before in other khutbahs, don't despair over the Trumps and the other people of this world, because Allah is in control, and maybe their children or their grandchildren will come to Islam one day. So we must never, never despair of Allah's mercy. There's a long list of great women in Islam. In the 9th century, for example, Fatima al-Fikri had a big inheritance from her father. He was a wealthy merchant. Instead of rushing off to the local shopping mall, Next and what do you call it? I don't know what they had in those days. Maybe the local souk, the medieval souk, to go and splash out on herself. What did she do with her inheritance? She built a university. She built a university. And not just for Arabic and Islamic studies, but for mathematics, science, astronomy. And this university, the Al-Khayrawin University in Fez, Morocco, still stands today. The oldest university in the world, older than Cambridge and Oxford. The oldest university in the world. And with it she built a library and the mosque as well. In Fez. They're still there after 1,000 years. Now imagine the sadaqa jariyah she made more than 1,000 years ago. And all the blessings that she has earned. This wonderful woman who took her inheritance and benefited other people. Something we can all learn about, my dear brothers and sisters. From Fez, let's just quickly go. Time is limited. We go to Aleppo, which is in a bit of a mess today. But 1,000 years ago, it was a beautiful city. And you would have found a woman there called Maryam al-Astrulabi. She was an engineer. And she took these brass discs, intersecting brass discs, and she engraved maps of the stars on these discs. And these astrolabes have been used for centuries as the satnav systems, if you like, navigation systems that help sailors across the oceans and travelers across the deserts at night and during the day. Those were your GPS systems, if you like, of the day. And this Maryam al-Astrulabi was one of the major developers of the astrolabe. Now, there are many, many, the list is very long, and there are many, many amazing Muslim women in Islamic history. I'd love to go on and on, but the khutbah has a limited time, and I cannot go on and on. I have to remind myself, my dear brothers, I have to remind myself first, and I urge you also, let us free ourselves from the heavy tribal and cultural baggage that oppresses our dear sisters. Let us go back to the noble prophetic example. Let us celebrate International Women's Day every day, not just once a year. Let us show reverence towards the wombs that bore us and brought us into this world. Let us treat all women, not just Muslim women, all women everywhere, with the love and respect that they deserve. Dear brothers and sisters, to conclude our khutbah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ فاذكروا لي أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون ولا ذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Surely Allah commands justice, good deeds and generosity to others and to relatives, and He forbids all shameful deeds and injustice and rebellion, and He instructs you so that you may be reminded. And Allah says, remember me, I will remember you. Be grateful to me and do not reject faith. Without doubt, my dear brothers and sisters, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life, and Allah knows the deeds that you do. Ameen. Aqim as-salat.